بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن الصلاة عماد الدين فمن أقامها فقد أقام الدين ومن تركها فقد هدم الدين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين honorable ulama ikram elders brothers and all those who are listening over the receivers and via the audio streaming. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is only through the benevolence, fadl, karam, and the tawfiq and hidayat, guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to gather in one of His in one of His houses for His pleasure and for our benefit. Respected brothers and listeners, what we must understand is that today there is so much of increase in these type of bayans and talks. As Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali time and again used to mention, that we can even list it on the stock exchange as talks unlimited. But the whole idea is that what we have to gain from these talks. Many would say that Mi'raj, we know what happened. We know the entire incident. The whole idea is, what lessons do we learn from these stories, these occurrences that have taken place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, previous prophets, anbiya, and even the present day. So concerned are we about the reshuffling of the government, about so many other, what we term as the pertinent burning issues. But have you ever thought about truly, deeply, from the deep recesses of our hearts, the true reshuffling of our own heart? We say the government, what's the government of our entire body? Government and the main part of our body is our heart. The reshuffling, in a sense, what progress am I making as a Muslim? As an ummati and a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The famous example given so many times, 120 times we may have heard it, which is in Ma'arif al-Masnawi, Hazrat Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi gives a beautiful example of that worm that was told to climb the tree. High up were those juicy berries, those sweet, tasty, lovely berries. Climb to the top and you'll enjoy it. This worm merely climbs the first portion of the tree, settles on some leaves, thinking that to be the juicy, tasty berry. Spends his entire life eating from there and dies in that state. This is the example given by him for us. That we've climbed to some extent, mashallah, whatever we've learned, whatever we are learning, But we've come to a level, are we now stagnant? Question ourselves. Do not point fingers at others. I myself, and like that all of us, in terms of my spirituality, Ramadan is so close. We are now in Rajab. Few days time, Sha'ban. Then Ramadan. In what way am I, myself, in every facet, every walk, every aspect of my life, am I progressing? As you say, reshuffle. Am I reshuffling that heart? One is in terms of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the rights of people, huququl ibad. In terms of my salah and my namaz, what quality am I reading my namaz? First of all, am I reading? And what quality of namaz am I reading? In terms of my fasting, Ramadan coming, what plans have I made? Besides the eats that we prepare so many months in advance, what other plans have I made for this Ramadan to come? How many will bear testimony from those seated here today? So many brothers were with us last year, are not here today. And we don't know whether we will be here for Ramadan. Again, reshuffle of the heart. Be concerned about that. That is our main concern. How we will progress spiritually. Like that worm, do not stop and be stagnant. Continue progressing. And there's no end to that progress. In terms of our worldly life, I've said this before maybe. Maybe in this masjid. We want to progress all the time. I want a better car, better home, much more luxuries in life. My business must progress. Whatever's allowed, we are allowed to do that within the parameters of Sharia. But is that what I've come into this world for? I supposed to be progressing more and be more concerned in terms of my spirituality. That grave to come, that hereafter to come, preparation for that eternal life to come. These are all reminders for myself and like that for all of us. These stories we hear about Mi'raj, about the so many incidents that happened, the seerah of our Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Allah Ta'ala instructs Pyare Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran Sharif, Surah Araf, the seventh surah of the Quran Sharif, the nine juz, nine para, in the 100, the verse 176, Allah Ta'ala tells him, فَقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That when you relate stories, relate the stories to them. Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Purpose? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. So that they may ponder. This is the whole idea today. Ponder. Reflect. As I've just spoken about, ponder and reflect on my own personal life. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنُ جُمْلَةً وَاحِدًا كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. There's certain verses in other paras also where Allah Ta'ala speaks about when the non-Muslim, the kuffar at that time, they objected. Why was the Quran Sharif not revealed all at once? The entire 30 juz, 30 paras, entire Quran Sharif at once, jumlata wahida. Allah Ta'ala says, كَذَلِكْ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Why did we delay and spread out the revelation of the Quran Sharif? لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah Ta'ala says, so that we will strengthen that heart of yours. To establish, to strengthen that heart. These stories, these incidents, these occurrences that took place, and we see what's happening around us, those tremors that happened recently in our own country, like that around the world, what is happening. Strengthen our heart to become a stronger heart and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, once he made a special request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O Allah, make my ummatis, make my followers and my people such that nobody must criticize me. Nobody must speak bad about me. He was Kareemullah. Could speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied to him, "Oh Musa, they people have not stopped criticizing me, Allah. What's you? I have done everything before they were even born, before their existence. From the time then they are born till the day they die and even after. As we will say, before A and after Z. Everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. And they criticize me, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is you? You are human. So people's criticisms will not stop. People's statements, comments will not stop. But we are here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narration in Tirmizi, where she narrates the words of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he states, Manil tamasa ridan nas bi sakhatillah wakkalahu Allah ilan nas. وَمَنِ الْتَمَسَ رِضَ اللَّهِ بِسَخَطِ النَّاسِ كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَأُونَةَ النَّاسِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That very two beautiful sentences, especially for those people that are sensitive towards what people have to say about them, to what comments are made, which is the norm from the time of Jahili, of the time of Adam alayhi salam, all the other Anbiya, Jahiliyat, time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and till now, and will get worse till the day of Qiyamah. Two sentences she narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he states, firstly, manil tamasa ridan nas bi sakhatillah, a person who his purpose is to please people. That is his whole idea. I want to please people. But by pleasing people, he is displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَّلَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَى النَّاسِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will entrust him, hand him over to the people. You're the people's man. You won't see to him, won't assist him, will leave him to the people. But on the contrast, the other way around, مَنِ الْتَمَسَ رِضَ اللَّهِ, a person who wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The motive, intention is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِسَخَطِ النَّاسِ. Although people are displeased, whatever action the person carried out in his life, dressed the correct way, talked the correct way, acted the correct way, behaved, lived, practiced the correct way, but people were displeased. Allah was happy. People were displeased. كَفَاهُ اللَّهُ مَأُونَةَ النَّاسِ. Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the people's difficulties towards him. He will suffice this person. He will take care of it. And he will see to the people's difficulties for him. So we are here to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make our intention correct. We are here to please Allah. We are here to learn, practice at least even one advice. Possibly we may have heard before. But then measure ourselves. Up to what extent is it found in my life? And then practice accordingly and even pass the message to others. Time and again we hear the lessons, the incident and the lessons of Mi'raj. When did it take place? Ulama have mentioned it took place before Hijrah. Majority of the ulama, scholars mention it took place before the Hijrat. What is Hijrat? The migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah Sharif to Medina Sharif. Before he went, so much of difficulties, problems, predicaments, hardships he had to endure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him from Makkah Sharif. We know the entire incident, we've heard it so many times. From Bayt Ummihani, from there to the Haram Sharif, Masjid al-Haram, where his heart was washed And from there, the entire incident we know to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from there where he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One part is called Isra, where he traveled by night. One is Mi'raj, where he went up. He was elevated and taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama have mentioned, the scholars mentioned, that this Mi'raj was actually Jabran lil-Khatil wa tasliyatan lahu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to console Piyari Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you've been through so much of difficulties. I will now bring you up close to me to show your status. Also to console you. That you've been through so much. Now I will show you my closeness. Bring you close to me. And also obviously in this way, people will be shown the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What we learn from this, إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that when there's difficulty, there's always ease after that. A poet says very beautifully in Arabic, إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ وَإِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. Beautifully in Arabic he says, famous poetry mentioned about Surah Alam Nashrah, that إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى, when difficulties, predicaments, problems, whether it be financial, whether it be in any other form, when they become intense upon you, when they become difficult, when it increases, and you cannot manage anymore, then فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ. Then ponder over the Surah Alam Nashrah. We know Surah Wadduha in the 30th Juz after Surah Alam Nashrah, Surah Infirah. Then he says, فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ. He reminds us of something very important in our life. And that is to focus on the positive things of life, not the negatives. We are going to ponder over the negatives of life. We will never be happy in this world. Remember, we all have to understand that this is dunya. This is not Jannat. Jannat, whatever we want, we'll get. It is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, that when a person is in Jannat, he will merely see a bird flying above his head. Far up, he will see the bird flying. He will just desire in his heart, not even say it, just the desire will cross his heart and mind. How nice if I could eat this bird. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, that bird will fall at his feet. That bird will be roasted, as we say in our words, bright, ready for him. He will eat of that bird. Just by having a small portion of it, he'll become full, satisfied. And again that bird, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put life again into the bird, and that bird will fly again into Jannat. This is Jannat. That is paradise. World is dunya darul asbab. This is the place of means. Whatever Allah ta'ala wants, that is what happens here. So there is no reason for depression, anxiety, and these type of orders and disorders that people go through. Rather focus, turn your mind towards the positives of life, not the negatives of life. So he says, فَعُسْرٌ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ. He says that there's one difficulty, but two easinesses. Two easy conditions, one difficulty in between. What he's trying to explain? He says that after every difficulty is ease, but even before that it is ease. How much Allah Ta'ala gave us? This is what we don't focus on. We only focus on where we have a problem. We have sickness. We have some difficulty or the other. The focus goes there. But what about before and after? The ease that Allah Ta'ala already gave us. And inshaAllah, if we have true sabr, true patience and perseverance, how much ease Allah Ta'ala will give us later? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala says with such emphasis, definitely Allah is with those people who are patient and persevere. A poet says in Arabic very beautifully, As-sabru ka-sabir, وَلَكِنَّ عَوَاقِبَهُ أَحْلَى مِنْ الْعَسَرِ. Beautifully he says, sabr, patience, perseverance in difficult conditions, it is like that aloe plant. Very bitter. Very bitter. وَلَكِنَّ عَوَاقِبَهُ أَحْلَى مِنْ الْعَسَرِ. He says, but the results of sabr and patience and perseverance is sweeter than honey. The actual sabr is bitter, like the aloe plant, but the results of it is sweeter than honey. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was experiencing severe difficulties in Makkah Sharif. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him up to that state where even no Nabi, no angel can even surpass. Sidratul Muntaha. Jo isse aage jayega, jal jayega. Beautifully, as he said in Urdu, that even when he reached there, that tree, Sidratul Muntaha, Jibreel alayhi salam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even now I cannot even come. Jo isse aage jayega, jal jayega. If I have to go ahead, anyone goes ahead, they get burnt. He went ahead of that, and he went and spoke directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an academic discussion amongst the scholars and ulama. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? Nurun anna arahu, nuraniyun urahu. A lot of explanation amongst the sahaba, there was some difference of opinion. The scholars of deen differ in regards to this matter. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is full of nur. How can Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the others, senior scholars mention also, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability at that time to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. How close he brought him to himself. So when difficulties come, ponder on the positives of life. Ponder on this mi'raj. How much he went through and then how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded him. Allah ta'ala says in a verse I recited, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. That pure is that being, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who asra bi'abdihi, who took at night his banda. Here the word is not used, bi nabiyihi, bi rasulihi, the prophet, the messenger. His name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not used. What is used? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted one avowed special quality of Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the word abd and slave. Showing one special quality that we all, these are all the lessons we're talking about. So many lessons we've learned so far. The next lesson we're speaking about is word abd. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved and highlighted this quality of abdiyat, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let us look in our life today. Introspect again. Up to what extent is this quality of slavery to Allah, submission to Allah, annihilating ourselves, lowering ourselves, making ourselves humble like a slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Up to what extent? Each one of us, is my quality of being a slave to Allah only in the masjid, only in my namaz and salah, only in my ibadat and huququllah, my rights of Allah, my fasting, my roza, my zakat, my hajj, my namaz, my zikr, my tilawat? One is it there? And if there, up to what level? And is it only restricted to that? The quality of being the slave of Allah, is it in every facet and walk of my life? Remember, Islam is not a unilateral religion. It's a collateral religion. What I mean by this, by way of expounding, explaining this point, is that Islam is a very comprehensive religion and deen. It's an embodiment, a conglomeration, and made up of so many different aspects, facets, and walks of life. Trade and commerce. MashaAllah, every Monday night, Mufti Ibrahim Desai Sahab, Ramal Barakatum, conducts a lesson of Bukhari in terms of the trade and commerce. So many things to learn, to improve our lives. Today we say, I know this and I know that and I know that. When it comes to the worldly things, we still want to learn more. More degrees, more status, more attributes to our name. In terms of deen, we want to learn Bukhari. This is a good opportunity for us to learn the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whether it's the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of our business and commerce, in terms of our interaction and transactions, in terms of my fasting also, not just only Ramadan came, I became a true Muslim, very charitable, very good, very pious, and before and after we know what happens. Each one of us should introspect our lives. To have the correct, sound, proper understanding in terms of deen and every part of our life. Famous, on a lighter note, where that one person, a female, heard some talk, and at home whenever her son-in-law used to come, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, she used to recite. So the son-in-law got upset, told the daughter, that this mother-in-law has made me, not an in-law, has made me an outlaw. Made me like a shaitan. Whenever I come, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So the daughter asked the mother, why are you doing this? What's the reason? She said, I heard the Maulana saying that when the jamai comes, I must say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Whereas in Urdu, jamai is to yawn. And jamai is son-in-law. So that correct understanding of jamai and jamai, whether the correct understanding, the correct wordings, we need to understand it, that deen must include all the aspects of life. Trade and commerce, our relationship, our character, our habits, our dealings, our buying and selling, our debts, our inheritance and wills, estates, distributions, all these, it should be a comprehensive deen. So again, abdihi, the quality of servitude, the quality of being submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah ta'ala highlights. Allah ta'ala even says in the Quran Sharif, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. The purpose of creating us human and jinnat is to worship Allah. And ibadat and abd, the only way you fulfill the true word of ibadat and the true worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by being the true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true abd and the true slave, that is when you'll fulfill this aspect of worship and ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How humble was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This quality should remove from our life this aspect of attitude, pride, arrogance, which is so common today. How often we find when a decree is given, explanation is given in terms of deen, that this is how the talaq should be, this is how your nikah should be, this is how your estate should be distributed, this is correct, this is incorrect, remove this clause, take that out, this is how your trust deed should be made in terms of deen and sharia. We find then the true iman, the true abdiyat, the true being the true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now becomes avowed and apparent in a person's life. Does he accept it or not accept it? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wafaqat hawahum am lam tuwafiqha, wattafaqat ma'adatihim aw lam tattafiq. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said anything in the Quran Sharif, when Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him anything, whether it conformed to their habits or not, whether they liked it or not, whether it conformed to the understanding or not, they were not like us. We will say, I don't understand this. It does not, I cannot fathom it. It's not congruent. It's not in pursuant. It's not to my level of understanding. I can't understand it, so why must I practice on it? That is abd again. Without that pride, without that arrogance, totally, humbly accepting every instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we like it or not, whether we can or not, we need to make a way where we adopt it in our lives. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, "Man tawadha'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah." When a person humbles himself for the sake of Allah, we can see again, Pyare Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam humbled himself. How much of difficulty he went through? Rafa'ahu Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him so high up, Allah ta'ala elevated him. وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ. A person is proud. Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, what is pride? إِنِّي أُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونُ ثَوْبِي حَسَنًا وَنَعْلِي حَسَنًا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِي مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِّنْ كِبْرٍ. A person has an atom of pride in his heart, won't enter Jannah. A person who has an atom of pride in his heart will not enter Jannah. Sahaba were worried. Ya Rasulullah, my clothes, I like my clothes to be very good. My appearance, my shoes to be very much, my outer look to be very presentable and pleasant. Is this pride? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined, explained, and he depicted what is pride and takabbur, and against this quality of servitude and being humble for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Al-kibru batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. What is pride? Two things. One is batrul haq. When the haq is presented to you, the truth, Quran, hadith, the law, the right decision is given to you. You deny it and negate it, refute it. That's one. Second, غَمْتُن nas, where you disdain, you look low, you belittle people, for whatever reason it be. Whether it's the color, whether it's the language, whether it's the dressing, whether it's the area they stay in. When you look low and belittle and disdain people, this is a sign of pride in a person's heart. And when a person has an atom of pride, where he negates and denies, refutes the haq and truth, and he belittles people, that is that pride that deprives him of entrance into Jannah. So again, Abd, I was speaking on this point of being a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous story you may have heard many times from Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayh, where one day he was traveling somewhere in the UK, and he sees next to them a car, person is driving, and he has a trophy in his mouth. He takes one suck and he puts another, the other in the dog's mouth. Again he takes one and he gives him back and continues that way. So he mentioned this story to Hazrat Maulana Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi wa shaykh. So Hazrat mentioned, you can see, these people have become slaves of their dogs and their pets. Everything revolves around the pet and the dog. To the extent that they'll live, they'll die, everything is for that pet and the dog. They'll even bequeath and they'll even make sure they'll hand over the estate and whatever it is, their wealth, to the dog. And these are the same people we've made our leaders today. And we look up to them, we cherish their lives. We become so happy, we follow their lives and carry their logos. And we wear what they wear and live how they live. This is how we've become their slaves and they become slaves of their dogs and pets and whatever else they have with that. Again, slave. Becoming a person who's a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this aspect of pride against the quality of being a true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Sharif. In the last verse of Surah Al-Mulk, تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير. First Surah, 29 para and juice of the Quran Sharif. Allah ta'ala says at the end, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jolts our minds. He says, see this water you have in front of you. If I have to cause this water to be sunken into the ground, today this water is such a great ni'mat, we don't appreciate it. Such a great benefaction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't appreciate it. How much we waste it. Allah Ta'ala reminds that if this water had to be sunk into the ground, He says, فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ, who will then bring you flowing, nice, lovely water in plentiness for yourself? Allama Mahalli, great commentator and mufassir, in his famous kitab, Safir Jalalain, he mentions an incident when a proud person heard this verse of the Quran Sharif. قَالَ بَعْضُ الْجَبَابِرَ تَأْتِي بِالْفُؤْسُ وَالْمَعَاوِلِ. One proud person stood up. He said, Allah Ta'ala says, who'll bring water from the ground? I will make sure. I will bring my instruments. Those days, the picks and the shovels and whatever else they had in those days, I'll bring all that and I'll make sure I'll take out the water from the ground for you. He challenged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Pride, arrogance, attitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, oh Allah, you say, you bring. Nobody can bring but you. I will show, I will bring it. Allama Mahalli then says in his tafsir, ذَهَبَ مَاءُ عَيْنِهِ, that person became blind. The water in his eyes disappeared. You want to take it out from the ground? I'll take the water of your eye away and you become blind. Now put water back. And how will you get your eyesight back? Never be proud in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he says words to this effect, that if a person, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, by way of example, I'm mentioning this hadith, that if a person has to precede, go before the imam in the postures of namaz, if the imam is going to ruku, you go before him, then he goes. He's waking up, you wake up before him, then he wakes up. Same in sajda, same in between, standing up, sitting. A person who's a muqtadi, if he precedes the imam in his namaz and salah, such a person, the hadith words to this effect mentioned, that he should fear that his face be changed into that of a donkey. One person heard this hadith, Mullah Ali Qari, great muhaddith and commenting on hadith, mentioned in his famous kitab Mirqat. He says, one person heard this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How can this happen? Let me challenge this hadith. Mocked the hadith, disdained it, mocked it, refuted it. How can this happen? Such a small thing I'll do, my face will be changed into that of a donkey. And he went ahead, challenged the hadith, mocked it, disdained it, showed his pride, showed his arrogance. Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullahi writes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him that from that day till the day he died, he had to wear a scarf all the time, covering his face, because Allah ta'ala really made it happen that his face changed into that of a donkey. Never challenge Allah. Never have doubts in what the Quran Sharif mentions. Never have doubts in what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. We can say we are weak. We will not practice. We cannot practice. Not we cannot, but we are weak. We will not practice. We make tawbah to Allah. Make istighfar, tawbah, make dua. Make the right intention. I want to practice. I'm weak. Try in every way. But do not refute. Do not deny. Do not negate. Do not mock. How can this happen? How can that happen? Allah Ta'ala highlighted this aspect. Subhanallah. Asra bi abdihi. This aspect of being the slave of Allah. This being humble in front of Allah. To bring all the aspects in our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this. Where Allah ta'ala then took him from Masjid al-Haram, Makkah Sharif to Aqsa. Where he did imamat of approximately 124,000 Anbiya and Prophets. We know the entire incident about Buraq. From there he went up to all the different skies. Met different prophets of Allah. Then from there, he went past Sidratul Muntaha, the tree, where all the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, they come there and is distributed from there. In our days, we understand what is the network point or the hub. From there, things are, whatever is distributed from there. That is Sidratul Muntaha, for our understanding purposes. From there, he went ahead, spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know what gift he was given. Such a great gift of namaz and salah. Was made 51st. After that he went few times up and down to Musa alayhi salam. From there it became 5. And that 5, you get the reward of 50. One great, very great muhaddith and alim mufti of Pakistan was against that time the Prime Minister, President of that time, Bhutto. So once they had a discussion. It's a lengthy story. I just want to speak about this namaz aspect. So one day Bhutto tells Mufti, his name was Mufti Mahmood also, Rahmatullah Alayh, that why Allah Ta'ala did not leave the namaz to be 50? Why he made it 5? Should have left it at being 50. So Mufti Mahmood Rahmatullah Alayh replied to him that you should be disgraced to say that. You don't even read one, you want to read 50 every day. So Bhutto then replied to him on a lighter note that if it was 50, then at least whole day you'll be reading namaz, you won't be opposing me. Now it's 5, you've got enough time to oppose me, and now I have opposition of you in the parliament and everywhere else. So at least it was 50, it would have continued in that way where you wouldn't have time to oppose me, and I, at least in that way I'll have a good life. So that 50 was made 5, but the 5 has a reward of 50. Like that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shown so many things in Jahannam. People were being punished for different sins. We've heard these incidents so many times. For what reasons, why they were, and what sins, major sins in their life that they were committing, that they were being punished for. Then so many other things were shown about Jannah, Jahannam. Like that, many other occurrences took place where he spoke to certain Anbiya, certain prophets he met. But that will lengthen the incident much more. As I said from the beginning till now, the whole idea is لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Let us ponder on all these lessons we highlighted and spoke about as we went through from the beginning till now on this entire Mi'raj, the special incident in life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What lessons to learn from here? Rather than as with Musa alayhi salam, he wanted his people to praise, not to criticize him, basically to praise him, be happy with him. Rather than being worried about that, what about what difference came in my life by listening to so many talks, so many years, so many Jumu'ahs, so many bayans, so many talks, so many advices I've heard. I've been for so many Jumu'ah talks, so many auspicious nice bayans. I've been for so many Eid bayans. I've heard so much. I've read so much. What difference and change came in my life? Amal se zindagi banti hai. Jannat bhi, jahannam bhi. That through your amal, your future is made. Whether it be a Jannat too, whether it be a Jahannam too. 2 weeks ago, I was mentioning to some people, when we met in some place that looked very nice. It looked very nice, the place. I was telling them, I said, we think this place is so good and so nice. But what is Jannat compared to this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the narration of Bukhari, that the last person to enter Jannat, the last person, basically the lowest person in Jannah, his Jannah will be 10 times the size of the entire world. Last person, lowest person in Jannah, his paradise in Jannah will be 10 times the size of the entire world. And as I said earlier, in Jannah you get what you want, how you want. No limitation. No limitation. Whatever we want, waladina mazid, even Allah Ta'ala will give us more than that. We'll be seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reading the Quran Sharif in Jannah. What more do we want? And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in this night of Mi'raj, where he was shown Jahannam, the punishments, obviously to warn us of Jahannam, so that we, our hearts desire for Jannah. Imagine if the smallest is 10 times the size of the world. How much more we can climb higher and higher and higher to get much more huger, bigger, much, as we say in our words, much more luxurious Jannat compared to the other people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and give us a tawfiq that we take these lessons to heart, make amal of niyat, the niyat of amal, of practicing upon whatever advices we hear. Whether we've heard it 120 times before, our duty is to listen, pay attention and make amal in our life. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmah innaka antal wahhab. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان وحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. والله give us توفيق and هداية that we practice upon all the advices that we hear, we have heard, we are hearing, and we will hear. O Allah, whatever permissible needs we have, that we have asked, and even what we have not asked, O Allah, fulfill all our permissible needs of this dunya, of this world, and of the hereafter. O Allah, whatever du'as we have made, we are making, and we will make, O Allah, fulfill all our permissible needs. O Allah, O Allah, give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring this great quality of being your true abd and your true servant, the true slave of yours, where we adopt and bring in our lives your commandments and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every facet and in every walk of our life. O Allah, make us true Muslims, true abd and true slaves of yours. O Allah, give us tawfiq and hidayat that we bring in our huququllah, your rights, hukukul ibad, the rights of people in regards to every aspect, in regards to our marriages, in regards to our walimas, in regards to our divorces, in regards to our inheritance and wills, in regards to our business and commerce, in regards to our relationship with our family members, relatives, and the people at large. O Allah, we bring in our lives the true sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allahu malaikatu salluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين. الحمد لله.